بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الحمد لله. We have just a few more virtues to cover in this program we've been doing this Ramadan, the path of salvation. And tonight's virtue is the virtue of altruism. What is the word for altruism in Arabic? Does anyone know? You're 98% there. Yeah, so altruism, the Arabic word for it is ithar. Ithar. Altruism is basically preferring others over yourself. So that is called ithar. And altruism is defined as unselfish concern for the welfare of others. But as we'll see, the virtue of ithar goes beyond simply unselfish concern for others. It means preferring even more than yourself for other people, but other things as well, as we'll see. So it is to prefer others generally over yourself, to do something or give something for another's benefit in spite of oneself. The opposite of ithar, I would reckon, is nafsaniyah, this egoism of preferring yourself over others in all things. Now, when you look at the history of humanity, you see practically every nation, every civilization has stories of great kings and brave warriors and noble men and women who sacrificed their material possessions or sacrificed their comfort or sacrificed their status or even themselves for the common good. This is seen across civilizations and peoples. And this is a core virtue of Islam, ithar, to prefer others over yourself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the famous hadith, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi." None of you will truly have iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So this is one of the central ethos of Islam. So it is required, if we're going to have kamalul iman, the perfection of faith, and altruism is one of these key virtues you see expressed over and over again in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the lives of the sahaba radwanullahi alaihim. One of the classic examples the ulama give for the sahaba and their ithar, and there's so many to pick from, but one of them, it is mentioned that during the battle of Yarmouk between the fledgling Islamic Caliphate and the Byzantine Empire, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, and two other warriors were mortally wounded. So you have three wounded people. And there was an able-bodied Muslim soldier there on the front lines with them who was attending to the wounded, going between this one and that one, offering them water and attention. So the narration says that as he was going to them, he brought water to one of the wounded, but he refused. And he pointed to another wounded soldier and said, "Give it to him. He needs it more than I do." And so he goes with the water to the other wounded soldier. What does he say? He says the exact same thing. He points to the other one and says, "Give it to him. He needs it more than I do." And so he goes to the third, and the same thing happens until eventually they succumb to their wounds, preferring others over themselves in the water. And this is an example they mention in the books, the Tarajim, the biographies of the Sahaba, showing the ithar, the preference they had for others. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this as well in the Quran. When speaking about the virtues of the companions, he says, Subhanah, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. They prefer others over themselves, even though they themselves are in dire need. And this verse, where Allah says they preferred others over themselves, even though they were in dire need, this was revealed in connection to what is perhaps the greatest communal act of ithar in history, and that is the establishment of the pact of brotherhood, the mu'akhat, between the muhajirun and the ansar when the muhajirun migrated to Medina. And the ansar were helping them in every conceivable way, with property, with money, with opportunities, even with marriage. Those who had two wives would offer to divorce one and have her marry him. This was the ithar that they had when they received the muhajirun in Mecca. Now, the Ansar had already made sacrifices even before the muhajirun arrived in Medina. And one of the things we understand from this is the Ansar were sacrificing and preferring their brothers over themselves, even though they were in great need. Allah says that in the Quran, وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا, even if they were in great need. But by their deeds of preferring others over themselves, the bonds of brotherhood were strengthened, and this new Medinan society flourished under this shade of altruism. Now, there's a lesson in this for all of us. And the lesson is that the Ansar were also struggling in many ways. They weren't all wealthy. So when they preferred others over themselves, it's not just the wealthy among them doing this. Even those who have less, they're doing so. And there's a lesson there, because many people, when they hear altruism, they think this is the person who has more than someone else, giving a little bit of what they have to help someone in a time of need. But the reality is, yes, a wealthy person can prefer others and help them. But even if a person is struggling, they have the opportunity to prefer others over themselves. So you can have even a superior altruism when you have more need of that thing than someone who can give it up and get it again very quickly later on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we're not going to obtain virtue, in this case birr, except by giving what we love. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You'll never obtain birr until you give of what you love. So what then are the levels of ithar? What are the types of ithar, of altruism, that we can exercise? The ulama mentioned that there's different forms. They say that the first form is what is called al-ithar tabi'i, the natural ithar or natural altruism. And this is like the ithar of the mother for her infant. She sacrifices her own comfort. She sacrifices her sleep. She even sacrifices her health for her child. And this is a natural ithar. It is the kind of fitrah that Allah creates within the mother and even the father, but more so the mother in this case. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she tells us a story about a woman who came asking for sadaqah. And Sayyidah Aisha didn't have anything to give except for a single date. Imagine this. Sayyidah Aisha only has a single date. So what about this woman? She has young children to feed, and all Sayyidah Aisha can offer her is a single date. So she gave this date to her, and the mother divided the date into two and gave each child one part of the date without eating any herself. Later on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what had happened, and he said to her, "من ابتلي من البنات بشيء فأحسن إليهن كنا له سترا من النار." Whoever is tried with these daughters and they do well by them and they treat them excellently, they will be a covering or a veil shielding them from the hellfire, right? Because she sacrificed her own health for her children. That's a natural ithar. Another kind of ithar the scholars mention is to prefer others over yourself in a way that will not negatively impact your own situation. So you feed the poor when you give some of your money to feed the poor, and it's not going to harm your bottom line. You'll be fine. You'll make the money up later on. It's no big deal. This is still a kind of ithar, but it's not the highest degree of ithar where you really feel it, where it really bites at your soul because it's a real sacrifice. This is not making your life difficult at all, but it's still ithar in that you're not keeping that for yourself. You're giving some of it for others. Another kind of ithar, which is perhaps the highest degree of ithar, is إيثار الحق على الخلق, which is to prefer the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the pleasure of others. So here it's not altruism in the sense that you're sacrificing for the welfare of someone else, because this is not benefiting Allah, it benefits you. But what you're doing, you are sacrificing your pleasure and preferring the pleasure of Allah over your own pleasure, even if it results in tests and tribulations. So you prefer the pleasure of Allah even if other people are upset with you. And this ties into what we were talking about last night in the congruence, that you hold to your values and you don't sacrifice them even if other people aren't happy with those values, right? So this is the ithar of the Anbiya. This is their level of ithar, where they prefer the pleasure of Allah over all other pleasures. And the highest embodiment of this ithar was, of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He strove in the path of Allah and he sacrificed in calling creation to Allah ta'ala, and he endured the displeasure and enmity of people. He did not sacrifice truth for the sake of getting along with those who were opposed to the haqq. He wasn't going out of his way to offend people. But when you call to truth, people who are opposed to truth get offended. They take you in enmity and they oppose you. You don't sacrifice the truth just to be in the good books of people who are opposed to truth. And this is the way of the prophets. He had no concern except the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and conveying the message to humanity. Now, people, we know in human nature, we're predisposed to prefer our own self-interest over the interests of others. That's why we have to fight against it. That's why we have to be on guard against selfishness, avarice, and greed. And we tend to prefer our own masalih over the masalih of others, our own benefits over the benefits of others. But here's the thing, to really understand the value of ithar, you have to understand the nature of the real masalih, the real benefits. You have to broaden your horizon as it concerns masalih. We have personal interests as individuals. But what is the greatest maslaha for you? What is the greatest maslaha for you? Think about it.
Salvation.
Ahsantum. You have to broaden your horizons and say, my greatest interest, my greatest maslaha is not limited to the temporary time I'm here. The greatest maslaha, the greatest benefit is what extends for me into the hereafter for all of eternity. If you understand that, then you will find it easy to prefer the pleasure of Allah over the pleasure of others, because even that is in your self-interest. So you're doing a kind of ithar, but in the greater interest of the best maslaha for you into the hereafter. Now, it's ironic for me to sit here before you and talk about ithar, and to talk about the benefits of ithar, because when we talk about the benefits of it, it's like you're asking, what's in it for me, right? So we're talking about altruism, or helping people out, preferring them over ourselves, and then we ask, well, what's in it for me? What are the benefits for me to exercise ithar with others? But there are benefits. What's in it for you if you prefer others over yourself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran that those who prefer others over themselves, they are included among those he praises and those whom he loves. It is the path to obtaining the mahabbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, ithar is the way that you perfect your iman, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says again, none of you truly believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So that is the way you obtain kamalul iman, the perfection of faith. Likewise, one of the greatest benefits of cultivating ithar is that when you have it, you are adorning yourself with one of the salient characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Furthermore, the person who prefers others over themselves, they reap the benefit of their own ithar in the dunya before the hereafter. How so? Because it is embedded within our human nature to be predisposed to loving those who sacrifice for us, who go out of their way to help us, who extend a helping hand. We are predisposed to love those people. So when you prefer others over yourself, you actually gain the love of the believers. You gain their dua. You gain all these things from them in this life because they come to love you for preferring them over yourself. It also helps you develop other positive spiritual virtues and get rid of negative qualities. So for example, when you prefer others over yourself, whether it's your time, your money, your expertise, whatever it may be, you are exercising the quality of rahmah, of having mercy to people, right? Giving them a helping hand, striving to benefit people. And that's one of the greatest doors to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, خَيْرٌ النَّاسْ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best people are those who are the most beneficial to other people. You know, we have to ask ourselves, how am I benefiting other people? Everyone can benefit someone else in whatever Allah has specifically given them, whether it's their money, their time, their expertise, some area of life that they know better than others. So they offer that and they help others in that path. Likewise, when you exercise this ithar, you help remove the negative qualities of greed, of stinginess, selfishness, and so on. And through ithar, you bring barakah to your food, to your wealth, to your time, and so on. And when we have ithar as a communal ethos, a communal quality where we do prefer others over ourselves, when it's not just one or two people doing it, but everyone's doing it, it's a sign that the society as a whole is healthy. It's a sign that the society is healthy. And the opposite is true. When everyone is just out for themselves, that is a sign that the society is unhealthy. Because as Ibn Khaldun says, what binds the society together is asabiyya, not the negative asabiyya of bigotry, but asabiyya as in group solidarity. What is the greatest way of strengthening group solidarity? It is sacrificing for the benefit of the whole, of the group, right? Giving something of what you have for the benefit of the whole, right? So it's a sign of health. So how do we get it? It's like saying, how do you get sabr? You obtain sabr when you're in the situations, when you're in the sphere of exercising sabr. Likewise, ithar is developed by taking those opportunities. But theoretically speaking, the way you can develop this ithar is to try to cultivate internally a strong desire for it and to obtain good character and get rid of bad character. Because it's in tandem with all of these other good qualities. Likewise, to have a strong dislike of greed and stinginess and being cutthroat, right? When you hate that quality, you will be more disposed to preferring others over yourself in different times. And to have a strong desire of the hereafter over the dunya. What does Allah say? بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Right? They prefer the life of the world, right? But we have to prefer the akhirah. So really, ithar for others ultimately is ithar for your hereafter over dunya. That's what it is. So it's in your own self-interest to prefer others over yourself when you can sacrifice a bit of money or time or expertise or what have you. So having this ithar, it takes on different forms. People tend to think of money, and that's definitely a major form of ithar. But as we've said, it could also be your time, it could also be your expertise, and there's other aspects as well. The fuqaha even discuss the limits of ithar, right? For example, one of the areas where the fuqaha differ is on ithar in the prayer rows. So let's say that we're lining up for salah, and there's a spot in the front row that's now empty, and you're in the second row. Do you A, step forward on your own and take that spot, or do you push someone else in front preferring them over yourself. The fuqaha differ about this. Some of them say, no, you take it. You take it, because this is not an area of ithar. This is a matter of jaza, of reward. And so you take that opportunity and go into the front row. You don't put anyone else in front of you. Other fuqaha say no. They say, especially if it's an elder, you're preferring them over yourself, and you put them in the front row, even if that's a better place to be. And one of the fuqaha said, in the big picture, it's good to prefer others over yourself in this thing, because it creates a more positive environment. And when you bring happiness to the heart of a believer by putting them forward in the row, that itself is a good deed that may exceed in value whatever reward you would have had in the front row. So the fact that they discuss this shows you that ithar even has consequences in our daily life in ibadat. So sacrificing for others, preferring others over ourselves, it takes on so many forms. We just have to find those areas in our life where those opportunities present themselves and exercise it when we can, so that we develop it in the small things and eventually the big things. And as we do that as a community, we are essentially taking the qualities of the Sahaba that made that community of Medina so beautiful, which was preferring others over themselves. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.